The following program is sponsored by Kit Fox Communications. From the entertainment capital of the world, this is Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight.
Submitted for your approval, Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight is hosting a special Halloween edition of the show. I'm Carolyn Fox, the velvet-voiced vixen. I've learned two things putting this show together. One, our fans have great taste in music, and they've suggested a lot of tunes, which you'll hear tonight. The other thing I've learned is it appears that monsters and mad scientists and vampires all really like to dance. So if you happen to feel like you want to get up and shake it sometime throughout the show, please, don't hold back. The spirits are with you. And of course, if you imbibe the proper spirits, that can definitely help you get into the holiday state of mind. Tonight, as part of our special Halloween show, we have an expert in spirits. My guest is Kyle Branch. He's LA's professional and private bartender to the stars, a mixologist who's created over 60 signature cocktails, resident bartender at the Gardenia Supper Club, and now the author of Life Behind Bars, Vignettes Over Cocktails. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's nice to be here, Carolyn.
Delightful to have you.
Yeah.
For anyone who doesn't know, what is a private bartender?
Well, in LA, you know, it's so spread out here. After I left Lakeside Golf Club in 2002, I decided just to kind of go solo and be more freelance with my work as opposed to relying on one establishment or two just to kind of take care of business. So I just went solo and created my own private bartending work out there, along with working with a variety of event planners and coordinators and caterers and bar services, and, you know, eventually over this it's been 10 years now, developing my own private clientele. So that's kind of how it all came about.
Fantastic.
It was a growth process.
But by private, you mean private events?
Yeah, private events and very private parties, too. Discreet events that you can speak about in some way, and some you can't speak about.
Ooh, this is very good.
But the ones I can speak about, I put in the book.
Well, and tell us some of that. At the Gardenia Room on Santa Monica, that's a very famous supper club for singers. You must have seen some amazing people there.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I've been there for, I think this is my 23rd year there on call, and I've worked part-time in various capacities there because that's just what it requires of me at the club. But Tom's had the club open for 32 years. It's now the longest-running cabaret supper club in the United States.
Wow.
As of about 3 years ago. In regards to the club and people that come in, it's very old Hollywood because old Hollywood knows people from theater, stage, Broadway, film, television. So you see the combination of people coming in there, and that's why we have pretty much all ages. Barbara Bain comes in there from the original Mission Impossible. You know, she even sits at the bar once in a while, and we have a chat. And because I've seen her there a few different times over the years. And Anne Rutherford is like 90 now. She was in Gone with the Wind, and she's still alive.
Wow.
And she still every once in a while comes in. So it dates all the way back to the stars still loving to kind of come out and see a show once in a while of usually people that they know, you know, like maybe Janice Paige, who has been performing the last couple of years on and off. She's like close to 90 herself, but she danced with Fred Astaire in silk stockings. I had the pleasure of walking her outside to the club to wait for her car to come by, and I stood out there because I didn't want her to be out there on the boulevard alone, you know. And I said, yeah, "Hold on, Nicole, let me get out. Just give me 2 minutes, and I'll be back." You know, but it was a pleasure to just kind of have her arm in my arm, just kind of waiting for that. She was there on that boulevard when it was so bare. In the 50s and 40s, in the Hollywood Cantina days, you feel the vibration of everything that she's been through when you're very in close proximity to her. You know, she's just wonderful, and she's a great storyteller too.
You have a story in your book, Life Behind Bars, about Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, it's the opening story called The Eastwood Moment. He's good friends with a Hollywood producer named Bud Yorkin, who produced All in the Family, and also co-produced the science fiction thriller that all of us love, Blade Runner. So I got to speak with Bud early on because it was his wife that was performing four nights in a row.
Oh.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So he had booked it all out. There was one night in the room where there had to have been $1 billion worth of people in this small room. You know, Henry Mancini was in, Norman Lear and his wife were in, Robert Goulet. And it was in one of those shows, it was the first time that Anne Margaret had been out to a club to see a show in 25 years because she told the waiter that, and Andy told me. And Annette Bening was, I mean, I could just go off with names and names forever in a small place like this, but it was over a four-night period, so they were all spread out. So that was the great thing about it. Raquel Welch, I got a call on the phone because I usually answer the phones behind the gardenia. And you could tell right away, as soon as she started speaking, she has such a distinct voice that I knew it was her. She calls in to let me know, to let her friends know that she was going to be a few minutes late. And the first thing she does when she walks in is she comes right over to the bar and waves and gets my attention and says, "Hi, Kyle." So everybody sitting at the bar were like, "Who are you, dude?" So that was a lot of, it's so interesting for that to happen because it's the type of club where everybody kind of goes by their first name. It's like a big living room. So Clint comes in about a half an hour before the show, and I already had a bottle of Cabernet that I had opened that came from Bud's cellar, his wine cellar, because he brought in red wines for the whole four-night stand for his wife, Cynthia Sykes. Bud had rented valet because we don't have valet around the area. So he rented valet to take care of all of his friends. I went outside for a couple minutes, like just as the show started, just to kind of get a breather because I was just busting the whole time, right before the show began. And I said, "Where's Clint's vehicle? What, did he drive up? Did you guys valet him?" And they go, "No, he parked his supercharged Ford Bronco across the street in the parking in the parking center, and walked across Santa Monica Boulevard in La Brea." You know, because he's from back in the day, too. You know, Rawhide and all of the spaghetti westerns and, you know, Hang 'em High and High Plains Drifter and all that type of stuff, where he's just as familiar as Janice Page and everybody from those eras at how deserted parts of L.A., you know, L.A. was at that time. You know, there was still some dirt roads around at that time in the 40s and 50s and 60s. So he just kind of owned the street when he walks down there, you know? I mean, nobody currently there was there before him. So, you know, he just kind of took care of business the way he wanted to and didn't want anybody to drive his truck, you know? Just like I don't like anybody to drive mine.
So have you worked anywhere that might be haunted?
Yeah. It's been some years now. I used to work for years at the Hollywood Palladium on call for a lot of private events because they had movie wrap parties there. They had concerts there. You know, this is a place that was opened in 1940, holds about 4,000 people if you seat the floor. And, you know, if there's the shows or and the upper mezzanine sections on both sides, because it's pretty much in the round when you go in the building, you know, and then they got the stage to the dead center, but it's a straightaway stage. But it's been there for a long time. And it opened up on Halloween night, by the way, 1940. Halloween night, Tommy Dorsey and his band with Frank Sinatra singing vocals. That was the first act to ever perform there. And from then on, it's had a myriad of, I mean, Jimi Hendrix has performed there and Ray Charles. I mean, everybody. The Rolling Stones have been there when they started. See, you know, that's 20 years after the Stones got going, you know, 25 or so. So they played there when they were, like, just new. You know, when they were coming across to the scene in the States, almost like the Beatles were. And so it's had every act. You know, Heidi is a bartending friend of mine there. She's not there anymore either because the venue had closed up and then it reopened some years later because they were almost going to tear it down. I'm thinking, you're kidding me? You're going to tear down this historic building in L.A.? No, no, don't do that. Heidi was there for longer than anybody that I knew. Heidi knows that that place is haunted because she's been in some of the back rooms and underneath. Any big building has these small spaces that you don't know about until you open up a door that you've never been in before. Yeah, and she's been in a few of the spots, and I've worked up in the VIP section with her. It's just a classic venue. It's a one-of-a-kind. Heidi used to tell me, it's where you catch the bands coming up and you catch them coming down, because if they're so big then they can't play there anymore because they're playing 10, 12, 15,000 seat arenas. That's what's great about it, is you do get to see them coming up all the time, and we've seen a lot of great bands there. But yeah, the place has definitely got some haunting situations about it, because Henry used to stay there overnight and guard the place, and he knows them for sure as well.
The ghosts.
Yeah.
And some vampires have been there.
Well, you know, I wrote a story because I had I'd worked so many events there on call over the years. One event that we had annually, it was called the Inkslingers Ball. And it was a huge tattoo convention. And they rented the place out over a weekend for 3 days, like Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So all of us would work. We'd have different shifts, and we'd just be covering, you know, just work all 3 nights. But the place was packed with, it was like if you're living in a small desert town in Arizona, and there's trees full of locusts. That's what it sounds like inside the Palladium during the Inkslingers Ball, because all of the buzzing tools that they use, there's like 100 of them going at the same time, because they're literally tattooing people. It's not just coming in there for people to see the artwork that they've previously done. It's everybody walking around with bones in their nose and huge hoops in their ears, and it's tattoos all over the place too. So everybody's getting them done at the same time, and there's a host on the stage, but there's no tattooing on the stage. That's just the host. Everybody else is on the floor and in the mezzanine in their own booths and things that they set up for themselves.
Fascinating stuff.
Yeah, it's wonderful to go through the 3 days, because you just see such a wide range of people that just go over the top, you know, in regards to tattoos, and it's just, it's who they are. I mean, it's so many of these of the things that they put on their skin is symbolic of how they feel and what they are in their lives.
A lot of people use it to mark events in their lives.
Yeah.
Kyle, I understand that you're willing to stick around with us after hours and do a special interview that will only be on the internet.
Well, that's true. After hours is the name of my game. I mean, when the witching hour of midnight comes, that's when I'm most alive.
Terrific. And the witching hour is perfect for Halloween. So if you go to my website, cfoxrocks.com, or my blog, carolynfoxrocks.com, you'll hear a special after hours interview with Kyle Branch. He's going to talk about mixology.
That's right. We're going to go off a little bit more.
Where can our listeners get your new book, Life Behind Bars, Stories and Encounters, Vignettes Over Cocktails?
Well, they can get it currently on Amazon, Amazon Europe, and it's also available on Kindle. So you just type in the keywords Life Behind Bars, and or type in my name after that, and the book will pop right up, and you got both formats to take or choose. You got paperback, or you've got the Kindle version. So.
Kyle, please spell your name for us, because some might have a problem.
Oh, with my last name?
Mm-hmm.
It's B-R-A-N-C-H-E. It's like branch with an E on the end, a tree branch with an E on the end. It's in French Canadian, it's branché. But in America, I just keep it branch, because I don't want people saying branchy.
Well, you've been a wonderful guest. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. It's great to be here tonight.
Ami, Sally Paul, and other listeners have requested this track, Bobby Boris Pickett and the Monster Mash.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east to the master bedroom where the vampires feast. The ghouls all came from their humble abode to get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun.
In a shoebox.
The party had just begun.
In a shoebox.
The guests included Wolfman,
in a shoebox.
Dracula, and his son. The scene was rocking, all were digging the sounds. Igor on chains, backed by his baying hounds. The coffin bangers were about to arrive with their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They played the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash. Out from his coffin, Rex's voice did ring. Seemed he was troubled by just one thing. Opened the lid and shook his fist and said,
whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash.
The monster mash.
And it's a graveyard smash.
It's now the mash.
hot on and it flies.
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash. Now everything's cool, Drax a part of the band. And my monster mash is the hit of the land. For you, the living, this mash was meant to. When you get to my door, tell them what it said.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
The monster mash.
And do my graveyard smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on and I'll fly.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
Mash Monster Mash.
Stay tuned after the break. Michael Jackson will bring some thrills. Carolyn Fox here to tell you about a great full-service mechanic and body shop in the San Fernando Valley. Steve's T&G Motors. My family and I have trusted our cars to Steve's T&G Motors for nearly 15 years. This one-stop auto repair shop does terrific body work, including a bumper repair special for $375, complete with color matching. Call Steve's T&G Motors at 818-347-2054. That's 818-347-2054 for Steve's T&G Motors.
You're listening to Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight. Play fresh new music and artist interviews. Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight is heard at midnight Friday in Los Angeles at 1580 AM and at 6 p.m. local every Saturday on the KHZTV.com network and always playing at cfoxrocks.com. For videos, after-hours interviews, and features we can't play on the air, check out Carolyn's blog at carolynfoxrocks.com. Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight brings you what's hot in Hollywood on the air and at cfoxrocks.com.
This is Carolyn Fox, and you can see me and check out my blog at carolynfoxrocks.com. Here's Michael Jackson with a terrifying tune. You've seen the video, please feel free to dance along. This is Thriller.
Trying to throw you down. Now it's the time.
Tonight on Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight, in honor of Halloween, we have a very special guest. Kevin James Sweeney is here in the studio. He's the author of From the Blood of Cain. It's a horror novel. Tell us about it, Kevin.
Well, it explains the real story of Cain and Abel. I basically looked at this story and said, this is probably what really happened, that Eve didn't really eat an apple. It had to be something a little bit more exciting than that.
Juicier.
Yes. She was she was basically seduced by Satan. And out of that relationship, there came a child. And Cain didn't necessarily have to be Adam's son. He was actually the devil's son. And he was the first murderer of the planet. And there comes the title of the book, All the Evil of the Earth Flows from the Blood of Cain.
And throughout history,
Cain has always been trapped in a half world of limbo where he was sentenced to, but he's always trying to get out, and he has succeeded. And many times he's crossed over into our world as Hitler, Genghis Khan, Alexander the Great, and each time he's tried to spread his evil and conquer the world and done some massive damage to the societies that he's taken over, but he's always failed. There's always been that little slip, something missing, and he always screws something up, and he's thrown back into that chamber that he's kept in. And this book is basically explaining all that, and the fact that in order to cross over each time, he has to have like a blood sacrifice. He has to actually take a virgin, and that virgin will give birth to his son. Once the son reaches a certain age, he can take that son over, and he can cross over into our world and get that second chance to create havoc, maybe take over the world.
So it's possession by Lucifer.
Yeah, Lucifer's in there, but most of the evil in the book is actually about Cain.
The front part of it, that first chapter, reminded me of the Da Vinci Code. You reach up out of the book and grab us by the lapels, and it's a very exciting first chapter.
You can't have that story without that hard-hitting sacrifice. I've created this evil society. These people were lost souls in Louisiana, and they created this Ars Signar, which is Latin for the Great Lord or the Wandering Lord. And so they're trying to always bring Cain over as their god. Then the rest of the book is his frustration of trying to basically cross over from his limbo into our world.
Tell us why you used New Orleans as a setting for part of the book.
It was just before I was writing this book. I went down to New Orleans, and I thought that it was a very interesting place. I like to talk to the locals, and some of the people that I met there were pretty intense, and there's a lot of voodoo and belief in black magic. So when I started writing the book, that place just came to mind. When I got into it, I started reading about this flood. They always have a lot of floods down there, but they had this one flood that all these people died, and it seemed like a very tragic way to build this this group of desperate people that kind of like searching for something that they felt that they would let down by God, searching for like an alternative. So they turned to Cain.
So, Kevin, tell us about your writing process.
That's interesting, too, because each time that I write the book, the book kind of dictates certain things to me. It's almost kind of scary, but I use different methods and different ways of writing. It just comes to me, even the method or the technique of doing it is different each time. Like this one that I'm working on now, for some absurd reason, I thought about doing it for like 2 years ahead of time. I was working on something else, but I wanted to do this other one. I went out and I started buying all these stupid little notebooks that you use like in grammar school. And I needed to buy these things. I bought literally about 50 of them.
Wow.
And I bought them with the knowledge that I was going to use them to write this book that I'm working on now. And I even have one of them with me today.
Ah.
whenever I do something, the basic start of something, or if I want to get into something raw, like a character's a personality or something, I go back and handwrite it. If for some reason, the handwritten stuff, it comes out faster or better. And then as soon as I start committing it to the computer, then I start, shaping it. But the methods are different. And the way I wrote the first book, it started out as a short story that I had written about 15 years before that. And I said, I want to do something with that story. And I started working on the idea and kind of explaining what the short story really was about. All this stuff just started coming to me from nowhere. It was like Kane. I don't even remember where Kane came from. It seemed like a good idea, and I ran with it. Like, when I started the first draft, it was kind of really rough, but I got through like 100 pages, and I knew it wasn't finished, but I knew there was a whole story there that I could work with, and I just built on it.
It's very cinematic, the way you write. We can see everything you're talking about as it happens. I understand that there's some possibilities going to go into some different genres. From The Blood of Cain.
There's a deal going on between me and someone else to produce a graphic novel, because everyone has always said to me, geez, this would make a really good graphic novel. Actually, I think that was my wife that first said that. But and she is always been my soul and inspiration.
So where can our listeners get your new book, From the Blood of Cain?
It's actually available on the internet, Amazon. It's on BarnesandNoble.com. You can actually get a Kindle copy. You can just download that into your phone. Actually, I did that myself, and I lost my phone, so someone is floating out there somewhere. Someone's reading my phone.
Well, they have a great read, especially for Halloween. Kevin James Sweeney, I want to thank you again for coming on the air with us.
Thank you, Kevin.
This tune goes out to Kevin, Screaming Jay Hawkins with I Put a Spell on You.
I put a spell on you. Because you're mine. Stop the things you do. What's up?
Quarter Valley Group's 40-acre equestrian facility is nestled in the hills of the Temecula wine country. We offer a facility that both you and your horse will enjoy, with complete horse care and boarding, miles of adjacent trails, two full-size arenas for training and warm-up, and a caring and knowledgeable staff. Barn and exterior stalls are available, and we offer multi-horse discounts. Horse owners with busy schedules can rest assured that their riding companions are receiving the best in equine care. The ranch is also available as a film location and for special events. For more information, call Dan Parks at 951-265-9674.
You're listening to Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight. Play fresh new music and artist interviews. Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight is heard at midnight Friday in Los Angeles at 1580 a.m. and at 6 p.m. local every Saturday on the KHZTV.com network and always playing at cfoxrocks.com. For videos, after-hours interviews, and features we can't play on the air, check out Carolyn's blog at carolynfoxrocks.com. Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight brings you what's hot in Hollywood on the air and at cfoxrocks.com.
Did you miss last week's show? Don't worry, you can catch it online at cfoxrocks.com. Yes, this is Warren Zevon live with Werewolves of London. Ow! Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight is on the air every week at this time. This next track goes out to Lawrence and all of the Larkin McLean fans. There's a spicy video of this tune online. Won't you celebrate Devil Tuesday?
The angel that protects me is beaten up, knocked down, is bleeding and bruised. My conscience is dead, killed by lust that was fed to me by you. Meet me at the Sun Palace in a high back. No one can see our fortune cookies or plum jam. October after May, your sweet young prey has blood on her own hands. Don't you want to celebrate Devil Tuesday, Devil Tuesday, the day I'm possessed? Nothing matters but you. Don't you want to celebrate Devil Tuesday, Devil Tuesday, and the evil that rises in me with the moon. Worry about it later. Don't think about hurting others when we feel so good. They will never know we went as low as any lovers could. No control desire leaves my soul charred and black. It's a wild brush fire with attraction this rare. Who even cares? I've got secrets, I'm a liar. Don't you want to celebrate Devil Tuesday, Devil Tuesday, the day I'm possessed? Nothing matters but you. Don't you want to celebrate Devil Tuesday, Devil Tuesday, and the evil that rises in me with the moon? Don't you want to celebrate Devil Tuesday, Devil Tuesday, the day I'm possessed? Nothing matters but you.
This is Carolyn Fox, the velvet-voiced vixen, inviting you to follow my blog at carolynfoxrocks.com. Coming up, it is the Night of the Vampire with Rorke Erickson.
Thank you.
For Rocky Horror, Carolyn Fox here to tell you about a great full-service mechanic and body shop in the San Fernando Valley. Steve's T&G Motors. My family and I have trusted our cars to Steve's T&G Motors for nearly 15 years. This one-stop auto repair shop does terrific bodywork, including a bumper repair special for $375, complete with color matching. Call Steve's T&G Motors at 818-347-2054. That's 818-347-2054 for Steve's T&G Motors.
You're listening to Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight. Play fresh new music and artist interviews. Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight is heard at midnight Friday in Los Angeles at 1580 AM and at 6 p.m. local every Saturday on the KHZTV.com network and always playing at CFoxRocks.com. For videos, after-hours interviews, and features we can't play on the air, check out Carolyn's blog at CarolynFoxRocks.com. Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight brings you what's hot in Hollywood on the air and at CFoxRocks.com.
Here's another fan fave. It's the Time Warp from the Rocky Horror Show.
It's astounding. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll. But listen closely.
Not for very much longer.
I've got to keep control.
Just a jump to the left.
And then a step to the right.
With your hands on your hips.
You're bringing me to time. But it's the velvet crust. It really does feel insane. Let's do the time warp again. Let's do the time warp again.
It's a dream. So you can't see me. No, not at all. In another dimension, with voyeuristic intention. Well secluded, I see all.
With a bit of a mind flip,
you're into the time slip.
And nothing can ever be the same.
You're spaced out on sensation.
Like you're under.
Follow us on Facebook at Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight. Late at night, when they're sitting around the campfire trying to creep each other out, do ghosts tell human stories? I ain't afraid of no ghosts. Here's the theme from the Ghostbusters.
Something weird, and it don't look you gonna call?
Ghostbusters!
I ain't afraid of no ghosts. I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
Hollywood Spotlight is on the air every week at this time. Kyle requested this next track from Creedence Clearwater Revival. It's Bad Moon Rising.
Moon.
This next artist, Daryl Holter, will be playing live Monday night, October 29th at 7th Grand in downtown L.A. From his Crooked Heart CD, here's a track that has a little bit of everything. Murder, betrayal, adultery. This is Mary Brown.
Well, my name is Charlie Thomas, and I'm as good a man as you. For the love of Mary Brown, there is nothing I won't do. Well, her husband was a banker, yet she told me he was cruel. So I left his body lying in the yard where the roses grew. She and I grew up neighbors where the houses looked the same. And I swear that I loved Mary Brown before I knew her name. And after she'd married and he moved her away, she'd still come back and lay with me like nothing had ever changed. I know what's wrong and right. What goes around comes around. There ain't nothing that I won't do for the love of Mary Brown. People like him always look down on me because I've done a little time for armed robbery. But Mary Brown knows I'm from a good family, and she didn't say nothing when she slipped me the back door key. I know what's wrong and right. What goes around comes around. For the love of Mary Brown. At my trial she testified, she kissed me once or twice, but she swore that was long before she became his wife. And every time I looked at her, she avoided my eyes. And the judge sentenced me to 25 years to life. I haven't seen Mary Brown since the trial's end, and she never answers the letters that I send. And I heard that she married her husband's best friend. But for the love of Mary Brown, I'd do it all again. What goes round comes around. But there ain't nothing that I won't do for the love of Mary Brown. There ain't nothing that I won't do for the love of Mary Brown.
This is Carolyn Fox, the Velvet Voice Vixen, thanking you for listening to this special Halloween edition of Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight. I invite you to come back next week, where we'll have more fun and more music. We're going to play you out tonight with a little bit of Devil with the Blue Dress On. This is Mitch Ryder.
Jump up! Get it! Hey!
Devil with a blue dress, blue dress, blue dress. Devil with a blue dress on.
Ooh, yeah!
Devil with a blue dress, blue dress, blue dress. Devil with a blue dress on.
Beep, beep, bye, bye, bo, bo, bum. Looking mighty now, here she come. Wearing a wig, hat, and shades to match. Got her high-heeled shoes and an alligator hat. Wearing pearls and a diamond ring. Got